Hot 101.7, Sonoma County's hit music station. This is Eloy, and I am very, very excited right now because as long as I can remember, a big fan of the E! Network, and I'm very, very familiar and an avid fan of the TV show Hollywood Medium. Now, you might have heard of that show. The show's host is named Tyler Henry, and he's going to be coming to the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts this Sunday, March 10th. And I'm very excited because right now we have him on the phone. Tyler, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for calling in. I'm like fangirling in my own studio. So, you know, very excited.
So thank you so much.
So it's going to be a big, big year for you. You're in the middle. You're going on a tour. You're promoting a new book right now. And you have a very popular show on the E! Network. But for our listeners who might not be completely sure what a medium is or what it means or what it is that you actually do, would you mind explaining that just a little bit?
Sure. So as a medium, I really just act as a conduit for information. And my job as a medium is really just to relay information from people's loved ones who passed away with the goal of providing validation to people who are still here to show them that their loved ones never really leave them and to really give them a sense of knowingness. And that's really the goal with every reading I do, is just to provide some form of validating information, some specific that can't be researched, that can't be Googled, and you know, something that someone can really take away with in a meaningful way.
Right. Yeah. No. For me, I kind of had a limited view of what being a medium meant. I think people sometimes often conflate it with something like holding a seance or, you know, using a Ouija board or something like that. But right. I think it's really important to draw that distinction.
Absolutely. Yeah. In my process, I actually just bring a pen and a paper and I scribble. And scribbling is really the way that I connect in a reading. I'm not necessarily writing anything down when I'm scribbling. It's really just more the motion and the movement that kind of helps me tell myself to turn on and just really start working. So when I do that, I kind of enter into a bit of a deep state where I then have to be receptive to any subtle changes that go on in my mind or my body. So I think a lot of people think it's like the movie The Sixth Sense, where you see dead people walking around. And it's not that way at all. It's very interpretational.
And probably for your sanity, better, because that'd be a little creepy.
Yes, that would be terrifying.
So, and forgive me, I mean, this might be an overstatement in your opinion, but for me, it's almost like you are like similar to Spider-Man in the sense that you have this really incredible talent and this gift, but a lot of people might view it as almost as like a responsibility and a power. And so you have to, you know, access that responsibility. How did you first find out that you had that skill? And what was your first experience like?
Well, you know, it really all started for me when I was actually only 10 years old. And growing up, you know, we didn't talk about spirits or mediums. We were very conservative. And basically in April of 2006, I just woke up one night and I had this knowingness that my grandmother was going to die. And I couldn't explain it. It just came through very strongly. And as I was articulating this to my mom in the other room, her phone rang. And when she picked it up, it was my dad on the other end saying that my grandmother had just taken her final breath. So that was really the catalyst. But at 10 years old, you know, I didn't identify. It was really more just something that had happened to me. So it took years to really understand it.
Now, when that happened, in the gap between when you started to kind of put a different lens around it, did you express that to your parents, and what was their response?
Well, my mom knew about the initial premonition I had because I had told her in that moment, but I actually didn't tell my dad for 6 years.
Wow.
So when I was 16, I actually made the decision to kind of come out of the psychic closet and tell my dad about what I could do, and he really didn't understand it. It required a lot of readings and demonstrations for him to really see it, and I actually tell the story in my live show about how he kind of came to understand it. So he is now my number one fan, but it took a lot of work and just kind of explaining what it even is. And I think that's just a testament to a lot of the misconceptions that exist about mediums.
Right. And just watching the show, I would have guessed that your mom is your number one fan. So your dad must be like a stan when it comes to.
Yes. He's huge. I'm very thankful.
So on your show, Hollywood Medium, you work primarily with some pretty big names in the industry. And I personally always love seeing when you interact with someone that you hadn't met before, just because it feels it sort of like it makes that much more authentic, I think, in a way, because I think it's hard to meet people that you're familiar with or you idolize or whoever. But when you don't have that connection, it's like you can almost go into it just sort of blindly, but not blindly in the same way. So before the show began for you, were you already connecting with that similar clientele, or was that something that happened after the fact?
Right. Well, it actually was happening long before I ever got a TV show. So I got Hollywood Medium when I was 19, and I'm 23 now, and I actually graduated high school when I was 16 with the goal of trying to become a hospice nurse.
Wow.
So I knew that I had this ability. I knew that I wanted to share it. I just didn't know if I wanted to do it in such an overt way, like, you know, being a medium on stages and on TV. So I felt that I could help people through hospice and just through word of mouth. As I was doing readings while I was in college, word naturally spread. And then when I was 17, I did my first reading with a celebrity, and that was over the phone, and that was with Sarah Paulson.
Oh, wow.
From American Horror Story.
That's
and
awesome.
And she called me up, and I was just this kid living in a small town in the middle of nowhere, and she got a reading, and from there, it just kind of took off.
That's incredible. So, you know, when you go to these stars' homes, I mean, you could probably gauge it from the show, but who had you most starstruck when you saw them?
You know, it's hard to pick one that was the most star-striking. I would say probably Sofia Vergara this season.
Yeah.
Just because it's Sofia Vergara. And I'm like, oh, my God. But, you know, there were moments where I fangirled in kind of weird ways. Like Nancy Grace made me fangirl. Nancy Grace, of all people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been a number of ones that have even surprised me.
So I actually had reached out to some of my followers on Instagram and on Twitter. And I was like, you know, I get the opportunity to talk to Tyler Henry. You know, what's something that you want to know? And I actually had,
sure.
I had heard this, but I think it was something that almost became like an afterthought with how much news coverage there was. But everybody was right. ask him about Chloe and Kylie. Everyone was like freaking out about that. So how recently was that episode aired in relation to the story breaking about Chloe and Tristan Thompson?
Right. Well, you know, I can't remember the exact time frame because I believe that reading was last season. And so if it was last season, it was probably filmed about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And what I will say is with, you know, the recent breakup, seeing that in the news is really sad because when I sat with Chloe and Kylie, I definitely felt like I saw the decline of Chloe's relationship, but I definitely did not see the specific Jordan situation and all of that that's recently came to light. So if anything, I think that reading, it was more of an opportunity to help kind of let her know what some red flags were. And that's really kind of what I took away from it versus like actually predicting what happened.
I had seen, I think I'd seen the headline and then that story just blew up. And so I think it was something that kind of got swept under a little bit. But yeah, everybody was like, we need to know how much you know. And I was like, well, I don't know if he knew like every detail about it, but I think he had maybe like a general understanding or a general idea of what might be coming in her direction.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's always hard to deliver news like that and then to see what happens. So I wish her the absolute best. That was hard to see.
Right. Yeah. So there was this is another headline that I had seen of you recently. But it's funny because when I had tweeted about this, one of my followers at the time, he was a little bit more, I guess, cynical about the idea. And
sure.
He had basically tweeted me a link to the John Oliver video about, about skepticism and things like that. And so I wanted to know, like, cause you've probably been confronted by that. What is your response to that? And how do you internalize that or not?
Absolutely. For sure. You know, I really just have an understanding that in life, when you're a public figure, there's going to be people that disagree with you. And I think, you know, speaking to that piece specifically, the focus was really on my reading with Matt Lauer. And in that reading, they basically said that there could have been things that I said about him fishing with his father that could have been public information. Well, the thing is I never know who I'm reading or where I'm going. So I don't know what's public about the people I'm reading.
Right.
And more than that, I think it's the specifics that come through in these readings, the details that aren't researchable, aren't Googleable. Those are the things that really evoke such an emotional reaction. And so I know when I connected with Matt and brought through his dad, he was crying over the personal messages and the details of like his last words to him and some of the things that happened the day he died. And that was really where he got that emotional kind of healing from. So I think cynics will focus on anything that they can to try to invalidate a reading, but I don't think it's fair because if you look at the full context of it, it was just very emotional, validating, and I really believe unexplainable. And Matt Lauer actually has just acknowledged that it was something that he felt he couldn't explain. So I have to go with the client.
Yeah. And I mean, working in, I don't know if it's an industry, but I guess a profession,
sure.
That it you have to suspend a lot of disbelief in some regards, but you also have to believe as much as possible. And so
sure.
I think that, you know, that's just, that kind of comes with the territory or so it seems.
Yeah,
so
I think to put such an emphasis on validation and on things that no one could know. And I think those things, sometimes too much of an emphasis is put on what could have been Googled,
right.
While ignoring all the things that are just simply unexplainable.
Right. So right now you are about to, has the tour begun for you already? What was your first stop?
Yes, it has actually. So we did a 23-city tour last year, and it's a 23-city tour this year. So I'm actually headed up to Northern California this weekend. So really excited in that area of the world, and it's just been amazing. It's a good opportunity to interact with viewers of the show and kind of share my story a little bit more, and then also demonstrate reading.
So the book that you just wrote is called Between Two Worlds. There's so much of your story that I think people only get a tiny glimpse of on your show. So I would imagine that that was a lot of the catalyst and the reason for writing the book. But what was something that you really hoped was like a takeaway from your book?
Yeah, well, you know, in writing a memoir, I was only like 12 when I wrote it. Not literally, but I felt very young. And, you know, in writing it, I just hope that people would be able to look at my story and really identify it in some sense. I don't think a lot of people can relate to being a medium, but I think a lot of people can relate to feeling different. And my story and explaining how I kind of came out of that psychic closet, I think people will be able to relate to that feeling of being different. And I hope that people are inspired to take it what makes them unique and what maybe they're bullied for and embrace it, because that can be, I think, the thing that can be our calling if we can just stay true to ourselves.
Right.
So that was, you know, my takeaway through my journey. And I hope that even if people can't relate to the psychic side of things, they can relate to that message of just being true to who you are.
You'd mentioned that during your show, you do live readings, you do like a Q&A. And I know that with working with celebrities and things like that, a lot of that really is just sort of putting for them, I think, into words, something that maybe like closure that they needed, or confirming some ideas or feelings that they had about people that they've lost. What is your hope and your takeaway that you want attendees to get from your show?
Sure. I think that there's a greater takeaway, when we're able to witness these readings. I hope that people are able to find that validation that their loved ones never truly leave them. And I hope that even if someone isn't necessarily receiving a one-on-one reading, although I hope I am able to read as many people as possible, even if you're not being read personally, I think there's something to be said about the healing, watching someone else get that validation. And I think even on the TV show, when we watch these readings and we see that others, you know, loved ones are connected to them, it can reflect to us that our loved ones, you know, are always connected to us. So
right.
I think there's a universal takeaway there, and I hope these readings really verify that.
I think that's incredible. And I, you know, I will say that with the amount of skepticism that you probably already received and that you probably will receive for the rest of your career, and just the general, I think there is a real level of cynicism in our country just in general right now. But I will say that I think it's really, really awesome. First of all, the gift that you have, but that you use it to really bring light to people's lives. And, you know, I think it's really awesome. I think you really are using your power for good. And I really commend you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Tyler, thank you so much for talking with me. I am so looking forward to your show this weekend. And I know a lot of people are too. So you can catch Tyler Henry at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts this Sunday, March 10th. You can get all the details that you need at lutherburbankcenter.org. And your book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere else that people should know to get your book?
That's right. Anywhere online, anywhere where books are sold.
It's called Between Two Worlds by Tyler Henry. Tyler, again, thank you so, so much for talking with me. I know that you're really busy, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day to do that.
Thank you. Likewise. I hope to talk again.